Hi, I'm the Ketogenic Jedi. I'm a professional geek, keto enthusiast, and I've lost nearly 100 pounds during my weight loss journey. I created this podcast to share some of my resources, insights, and inspiration that helped me achieve success. Hopefully it can help you too on whatever health and fitness journey you are on. May the Force be with you always.
Well, hey, hello everyone. I am back here again, and boy, has it been a very long time since my last episode. Actually, I think the last episode I did was back in the tail end of 2020, and we are now in 2022, so it's crazy to think that it's been almost 2 years since my last episode. And I just want to start by saying that to those who are still listening, to those who are still around listening, which surprisingly there are still a few people tuning into the podcast, I am greatly appreciative of that. And I thank you for taking time out your day to listen to a little bit of advice from someone who has been on this fitness and health journey for a while, and feels like there might be an opportunity out there for someone to pick up pieces or find things to add to their tool belt that can help them be successful. So for those who have been listening, for those who have been taking the time to listen, it's really great, and I thank you for that. And for those who have also shared the podcast, thank you as well for that. But really, I wanted to jump on and kind of just update you on kind of where I've been. I am very happy to announce that, or not announce, but it's been going ongoing, but I'm happy to say that I am still being healthy, still continuing on my journey. That's not to say there hasn't been some challenges. There hasn't been some times where I've been unmotivated, or maybe I've taken some breaks here and there, but I'm happy to say I'm still on track and things are still going well. But what I want to break down is kind of what's been going on, kind of some updates to what I'm doing right now in my journey, and some strategies that I've put in place to kind of help with, to help stay on track on where I am. So I want to say back to the episodes, because I just pulled up, I have a way of seeing some of the statistics from my episodes, but you know, I have 78 plays on my previous episode of the podcast, and that is great. It looks like my last episode was September of 2020, so for those who are still listening and tuning in, I appreciate it. I try to make these short and kind of easy to digest, something that you can listen to on the way to work, just really quick, taking quick knowledge and be on your way. So for those who are still listening, thank you for that. But without further ado, let's jump into what I want to talk about and with my journey. And really the big thing I want to talk about is that I have stopped doing keto. And I know that might sound crazy to some people. Wow, you stopped doing keto. But yeah, as of November of 2020, I wanted to try to switch things up and try to challenge myself again. And I started introducing carbohydrates back into my diet. So that's been a big thing. So I have been on carbohydrates, pretty moderate sized amount of carbohydrates. I've been actually intaking them for some time now. So that was one big change. So I know there's a joke. Some of my friends have made jokes that I'm kind of not necessarily the ketogenic Jedi anymore. I'm trying to find a name that kind of fits what I'm doing now, but I'm still keeping the ketogenic Jedi name just because keto is something that really helped me get the framework of understanding nutrition for myself and how I achieved my health and fitness goals. Without keto, I wouldn't have been looking at the back of labels, understanding, you know, carbs and sugar and macronutrients that I need to be successful. Without keto, that was kind of the fundamentals, kind of the structure, the framework of what's given me so much success to this point. But the reason I switched to introducing carbohydrates was I wanted to start gearing my fitness goals towards building more muscle. Now, this is not to say that you cannot build muscle with doing a ketogenic diet. You can certainly do that. There are pages that do that. I know for one, there's a guy on Instagram. His name is Keto D, has a pretty large following. He has done keto pretty much exclusively, and the dude is in great shape. He's building muscle, and props to him. Check him out if you want to see that. So you can definitely build muscle on keto, but for me, I just wanted to challenge it because, you know, with the ketogenic diet, you're using fat as kind of your fuel source for a lot of your physical activity and performance. So also though, historically people have used carbohydrates to help with performance and their physical activity. So I wanted to just kind of see how I can blend the two, because there is a way, once you get your body in a good metabolic state, that you can actually burn either carbohydrates or fat. And your body's able to kind of switch and use what it needs. So if you don't have a lot of carbs to use for performance, your body can kind of switch and use your fat for fuel. I'm probably saying that in more of a simple way, in simple terms, but that is something that can happen. So I kind of wanted to challenge myself because, you know, when you hit particular goals, right, it's very easy for you to kind of take a break and say, look, I did all this work, I made it to this point, and, you know, I'm done. Like, you know, I want to take a break and I want to just, you know, take some time off because I've been so strict and so at it for this point of time. But for me, I feel like I want to try to always take it to that next level. What is the next goal? What is the next thing I can do to try to challenge myself to keep this sustainable and keep this a lifestyle, right? Because that's the goal. For me, it's very easy to do a diet, but when you can make your healthy eating, your healthy living, your healthy fitness into a particular lifestyle, it's part of your life, it's ingrained in your everyday activity, your everyday routines, that is when, to me, you can become fully successful. Now, don't get me wrong, there are people that do kind of crash diets and quick diets and fad diets, and that may work for them. And I'm not saying that you have to do this, but for me, this is what worked, and this is what worked for me, and this is what I did. So let's kind of break down exactly what I did specifically and kind of how I did that, because I think that's key. If you're someone who's coming off of keto, because I've heard a lot of stories and I've gotten this question when people ask me if I'm still doing keto and I say no, they're kind of like, wow, how did that work? Because they've heard of stories where people get off keto and then they blow up, or, you know, they have significant weight gain, or, you know, significant body composition changes. And, you know, it kind of puts a stigma on keto that, like, you know, it's not the most sustainable, because the second you kind of veer off of it, you're just instantly back where you started. So I can speak with experience in saying that there is a way to do it. There's a smart way to do it. There's a way that's also going to give you more success down the road. So I think the first thing is, what I did was that I started to really look at this. I wanted to kind of build my way back to having carbs, because if you think about it, it had been a year, almost 2 years, since I've had significant amount of particular carbohydrates for some time. Now, before I even get there, let's talk about what specific carbohydrates that I was planning to do, because I was only going to use a specific time. And the big thing is I didn't want to do processed carbohydrates. So what are processed carbohydrates? So those would be, like, you know, not necessarily the most healthy things, you know, like, you know, donuts, cookies, stuff like that. Also just in general, some breads, try to think of particular things, you know, processed carbohydrates, things that aren't like single ingredient carbs. They include multiple different ingredients to make up that carbohydrate, which could also include other sugars and things of that nature. So for me, I wanted to stick to single ingredient carbohydrates. So what are those? That was going to be potatoes, rice, some fruit too, bananas, apples, some things, you know, natural sugars, fructose, and also, you know, single ingredient carbohydrates. So that's what I wanted to stick to. So that was the first thing. The second thing I wanted to do was also limit how much of those I was taking per meal. So I would have maybe one serving of those carbohydrates out of my 3 meals in a day that I was doing. So it's a smart approach to kind of ease your way in, and it saves you the risk of overeating. And I think that's the biggest thing, is people get off of keto, they don't really track, they don't really have any structure of what they're doing. They just kind of overeat on the wrong carbohydrates, those processed carbohydrates, and that ends up them getting a lot of water weight, gaining a lot of that weight back. And it can be very discouraging, given all the work that you've all the work that's paid off and all the success that you've had for in 2 weeks or so, for you to come back and gain a large amount of that weight. So I think if you're going to reintroduce carbohydrates, you want to make sure you're doing it in a smart way, still tracking it. Even if you're not tracking your meals on the whole, still at least track how many carbohydrates you're taking in the day, and that could just be amount of serving size. So for me, if I was going to have rice, I would just have only a cup of rice with one of my meals per day. And you don't even maybe have to measure, just say one of my meals, I'm going to have carbohydrates. We don't want to make this overcomplicated, because when it becomes overcomplicated, you stress about it and it becomes a burden and becomes not enjoyable and we can't make it into a lifestyle. So what I did was I took and had one carbohydrate with my meals. The other big key thing that I did is I lowered my fat intake, because in keto, you want to have a higher fat intake, lower carb intake. So I think the big thing is too, when people hop off keto, they're still eating the same amount of fat in their macronutrient balance, still taking in the same amount of fat and also increasing the carbs, which when you do that, that's adding extra calories. Because fat in general, things that are high in fat, they're gonna be more calorically dense. So they're gonna have more calories. So when you increase that fat and you increase your carbs at the same time, that's gonna increase your calorie intake. And if you're having more calories than you're burning, that's gonna cause you to potentially gain weight. So what I had to do is lower my fat intake. Now, for me, what worked for me, whenever I'm starting out, and I've kind of talked to this before when I talked about starting with keto, is that I wanted to make sure I was tracking what I was doing. And I have a particular app that I was using. And what's actually cool is the app that I used to track my keto diet was also what I used when I did this. So Carb Manager, which was the app I suggested in previous episodes when I started keto and started tracking my intake, it also has a setting. And what I did was high protein, moderate carb, low fat. So you can actually set that, set some parameters based off your weight and gender and all that stuff. And then it'll also track it that way. So it has a keto kind of filter, but it also has just a general filter if you want to do it this way, which is one of the reasons why I love the app. But that's what I did. I set up those parameters and I started tracking. So I lowered my fat intake, lowered my carb intake, and then set a certain amount of calories for what I wanted to do in the day, or eat per day. And that was a big one for me. And my apologies, lost track for a second, had some things going off. But anyhow, that is what I did. So then I tracked, and my carbs, my protein, and my fat. So I did that for about the first 2 weeks just to kind of get a good kind of structure and what things look like. Because with not eating carbs in so long, you kind of forget kind of what value they put towards your overall calorie intake. And this gives you a good overview of what you're doing. So that's what I did. So the first week or two, I would have one carb per meal out of my three meals in the day. And then I would lower my fat intake. And I did that for a while. And I think that's a smarter way to do it, to gradually kind of track instead of just going straight out and eating particular carbohydrates. But if I could suggest it, I would say definitely stick with non-processed carbs. So maybe pick like three. So maybe that's sweet potatoes, and rice. Or maybe it's, particular fruit, maybe it's a particular vegetable. Even though a lot of vegetables are pretty low carb, but stick to those core things. And then stick to maybe three things or two things, and then just fit one into every meal and just do a smaller portion size. Like I said, a cup of rice, half cup of rice, barely sized potato, and a fairly sized sweet potatoes, even though they come pretty big. Now, obviously, when you're trying to eat, in a healthier way, you definitely want to go with, obviously, you don't want to put any cinnamon or sugar or, brown sugar, anything on your sweet potatoes. You want to put loads of butter on the potato because obviously that'll add calories. So obviously you still want to stick to those core principles of, eating in a particular kind of less calorically dense way. That doesn't change. So that's the thing too. My process, my fundamentals, my tool belt is still there. It didn't change. Just I'm tweaking a few things and adding carbohydrates in there. So I was trying to make that pretty brief, but I was pretty extensive explanation of kind of how I introduce carbs, but I think it's also helpful. I think it's also helpful to do, to kind of break down what happens, because I have heard stories of people coming to me and saying, well, I got off keto and then I just blew up. Well, likely what happened is they went back to eating processed carbs. They went back to eating out and adding things, still eating at the same, even if they were tracking, they were eating more carbs, but still eating the same amount of fat content without the day, maybe not working out as much. And then, you know, they might've had some weight gain or some issues there. So that's really the big thing. So once I did that, the other component of it was working out. So that honestly didn't change. I still kept the same workout schedule. Now, on my last episode, I talked about how you have to be kind of flexible, you know, as seasons change in your life, as new responsibilities pop up, because life happens. You have to adapt and find a way to still work in your routines. And that's what I had to do. So I remember I talked about how I was going 6 days a week working out, and it was just a lot. Between coming back to work and working my full shift and then working 6 days a week, I had to adjust it because I was drained. I was tired. I didn't have energy, and I just wasn't producing at the same level. Once I adjusted my schedule, dropped down to 4 days a week, optimized my workouts for those 4 days, I felt a lot better, had a lot better focus at work, a lot better energy during the day, and then I could also still output good energy during my workouts. And that didn't change. As I was taking on this new strategy of how I was eating with my diet, I also needed to keep in mind in my workout schedule. So I did one thing that I hadn't done in a very long time. I've been saying for a while that with this new schedule, with this new diet or new diet change or new lifestyle change in terms of my intake, I wanted to also switch up a new style of my workout. So I started switching to mornings. That is something that was extremely challenging for me because I am not a person who likes to wake up very early. I'm just not a early bird sometimes, as my Alexa just went off. live show. So anyhow, and it made me lose track of thought, which is always fun. But this is a live show. This is not something that I, you know, I have key points that I want to hit, but I don't always. Sometimes we go off on tangents just because there's things I want to squeeze in as I have the conversation. But anyway, workout schedule is what we were talking about. So my workout schedule, I changed. I was never really an early bird. Obviously, I wake up early for work, but you know, I wanted to be those people that I see that are up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock a.m. And I always looked at them and I was just like, I don't know, you know, how they have that energy first thing in the morning, getting right into the gym, right into an intense workout. But I told myself I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to try something different because sometimes that's what's needed. A lot of times when you're on a certain lifestyle, sometimes you want to switch things up or tweak things in a way that make it a little bit more exciting for yourself, at least for me. Don't be afraid to play around. Now, obviously, if there's something that works for you and you're comfortable with it, stick with it and move forward. But for me, I'm always looking for a new challenge, looking for a new goal to kind of push forward, to kind of step out of my comfort zone and try something else. So I did it. I started working out early in the mornings, got up at 4:30 a.m., was at the gym by 5, and then out of the gym by 6:30, back home, eat, get ready, and then head to work for my day. That might not be something for everyone, but it's something that I did in tandem with this new kind of diet change. So I'm sure people are wondering kind of, how did you feel once you were taking in more carbs? Did you feel any different? You know, I know a lot of people say when you take keto, it kind of helps with like clearing up brain fog and clearing up focus and things like that. And which is kind of suggesting that when you're having higher carbs, you might have brain fog, you might have some of those systems. But I think the problem is that the kind of carbs that they're speaking of, like I said, are those processed refined carbohydrates. So those would be, you know, sugary things, very sweet things, junk food, not necessarily things that's best for performance. So, but as far as me, when I started transitioning to carbs, there really wasn't that much of a change. I still was on the same workout routine. My energy levels in the gym were pretty much the same. No really any issues, honestly. The other thing too, you know, with carbs, really the one change for me was just being able to eat certain carbohydrates and eating foods that I hadn't had in a while. And it actually gave me a little bit more flexibility in my diet. You know, there are debates between people who say that keto is a more restrictive diet. For me, I think I'd probably disagree there. I think there's plenty of options in keto. I never had issues going out to eat or going over friends' houses and when I was doing keto and finding foods to eat that fit within the meal plan that I had. I never had trouble, but I can see the perspective that people might say keto is a little more restrictive. So when you introduce carbohydrates, you're basically bringing in the foods that you tend to limit or omit in the ketogenic diet, which can be seen as restrictive to some, but like I said, for me, never did. But I was just excited to kind of have certain carbs, because I'll be honest, some of these natural carbs that I had, they were delicious. I mean, I like potatoes, I like rice, I like sweet potatoes. For me, those are the only three things I can think of right now, but I think that's really the majority of carbohydrates that I really brought in. I think the other thing I had was rice cakes, but I still kind of count that as rice. I'm still trying to think. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank. Oh my God, the biggest one, I just remembered. Sorry, going a little bit off track here, but oatmeal. Oatmeal was another one of those carbohydrates I introduced, because oatmeal is great for me. I mix it in the morning with my protein of choice, and that was a huge, huge game changer for me, which I liked a lot. But that was really the biggest change when it came to introducing carbs. As far as performance in the gym was fine, it was really just the taste in food, being able to eat particular carbohydrates that I had missed. I had missed eating potatoes. I loved potatoes growing up. I loved rice. But the cool thing is, now I had the knowledge and the fundamentals that helped me enjoy those foods in a healthy way. Before, if I would have had a sweet potato, or I would have had a potato, I would have been putting butter on the potato, I would have been putting loads of salt on the potato. Not saying salt's terribly bad, but you know, adding a lot more calories, maybe sour cream, something like that on the potato. Now I know what those things contribute to, what those things can add to your caloric intake. I have that knowledge now moving forward, and that's why I thank keto. That's why I said in the beginning how keto kind of helped pave the way for the smart decisions that I make now on my health and fitness journey. So it was pretty much like, you know, like I said, no different. Just I was able to enjoy a little wider variety of foods in my diet, which was nice. So that's kind of what I've been doing for the past, which is crazy to say, 2 years now, and thankfully I've had success with that. Now, one thing that might shock you is that I have gained weight. However, I'm still the same pant size. I still have the same size clothes. I'm still hitting my fitness goals. So you must be thinking, well, you gained weight, so how are you still hitting all these goals, being successful while still gaining weight? Well, that is because another portion of this journey and switching my diet was because I was on the pursuit to gain some muscle. I wanted to try to gain muscle, but not gain body fat. So I have went up in weight since then, but my body fat has stayed at a healthy range, which I'm happy to say. Now, I am by no means, you know, super lean and super cut. You know, there's still always work to do, but I've gained about 10 pounds or so in that 2 year span. And that is due to muscle increases and some more added weight training. And that is something that I'm very proud of. It's something that I wanted to challenge myself with, to see, by changing this diet up, by continuing to work hard, can I still have results? But I say that because it's very easy to get demoralized or get unmotivated when you look at the scale, even when you're staying on track and you're doing this and you're still gaining weight. And I think this brings up a key point of something I want to highlight that I think a lot of us forget. And I may have mentioned this before as well, but when it comes to your weight is one metric as far as how you gauge success. You have to look at other things outside of weight. That's why they don't necessarily call it weight in other things. They call it body composition, because there's different things that comprise how your body is from a healthy standpoint. So weight is one factor. One other thing to look at when you weigh yourself is look at your clothes. You know, how do your clothes fit on you? Are you still the same pant size? Oh, well, I'm 20 pounds bigger. That's kind of a more extreme case, but let's say I'm 5 pounds bigger, but my pant size is fine. I'm not, or visibly, you know, are you noticing any visible changes? Your stomach bigger, things like that. You know, are you noticing that? Or are you noticing more muscle definition? Are you noticing more tone? Are you noticing, you know, larger arms, larger biceps, larger chest, you know, things of that nature? Those are other things to keep in mind. Please don't live or die by the scale. And I had that problem too. I would weigh myself way too often. I would see fluctuation, because the other thing is your weight will change. Your weight is going to change. It fluctuates week to week, day to day. So what I would say is set a schedule, maybe keep your weigh-ins a week apart, but then also consider all the other factors that go into your body composition. You know, pictures are a great way. Take pictures week to week. That's a great way to see change. That's a way to gauge success. There also are some scales that will do kind of an estimate of body fat and different kind of factors that come into your body composition. You can invest in those. They're not going to be 100% accurate, but it does give you a good kind of gauge to see where you're at. But the big thing is to not live and die by the scale, because that is something that I could have looked at myself. You know, looking at the scale saying, man, I gained weight. I keep gaining weight. But also it's the rate in which you're gaining weight, right? In a week, if you're gaining 10 pounds in 1 week, yeah, that can be probably an issue. If you're gaining a pound, 0.5 pounds per week, that may not be as crazy as an issue given on what your workout schedule is, what your diet like, and how active you are. That may be a good sign that you are putting on muscle or you're getting towards your goal. So that's one key thing that I also wanted to just point out as well. So moving on there, so that's kind of my transition into carbs. That's kind of where I've been right now in my fitness journey. I can say it's going pretty well. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, because while I was during this time, I also had some opportunities to go on some vacations, to go on some trips, and to experience different places. And I think this is something that doesn't really get talked about enough, but it's when you're on vacation and you're on a particular health journey or fitness journey, like, what mindset do you have to have when you're going into vacation? And how do you eat, or how do I eat, or what do I do when I go on vacations? Because I think this is a big thing that doesn't really get talked about. And I think it's something that can be key, right? Because you're going on vacation to relax. You're going on vacation to get away. And you want to enjoy yourself, but you still don't want to necessarily do something that's going to take you off track of whatever goals that you're trying to do. And I think I can speak from two different perspectives. So one perspective is I'm trying to stay on plan. I'm trying to stick to what I'm doing while I'm on vacation. The other perspective is I'm not necessarily trying to stay on plan. I'm still mindful of what I'm taking in and what I'm doing, but I'm not necessarily tracking or not necessarily worried or concerned with what the outcomes may be when I come back. So first thing I would say, if you have particular goals and you're going on vacation, I think the worst thing you could do is to build anxiety and be concerned and be extra worrisome of what may happen when you're on vacation. Because at the end of the day, you're going on vacation with people that you care about. You're going there to enjoy yourself. You're going there to relax and let loose. Or I shouldn't say let loose, but you're going there to try to feel better. You want to improve yourself. Usually vacations are meant as a time to kind of recalibrate, to kind of, you know, decompress and things like that. So if you're always worried, you're always stressed, you're always concerned about your diet, if you're that type of person, I would say go into your vacation with the idea of enjoying yourself and what that looks like for you enjoying yourself. But I think the key thing is we have to go back to habits, right? So me, prior to this journey, I had trouble with my eating habits, right? I would eat a large amount of food. I wasn't as active, and it caught up with me. Well, see, you have to realize when you're going into vacation, you're not the same person that you were before. And that is where mindset is everything. And I've said this before, it's not only a transformation of the body, it's a transformation of the mind first. You have to go on vacation realizing that you're not the same person that you were before. You have tools in your tool belt. You have different belts that you've built. If you go back to the first episode, my karate belt theory, you've already scored belts in different categories that you have, and those are assigned to you. You already have those. You're going into this vacation with more knowledge, more background, more experience than you did before. So that's already going to shift your mindset. You have to realize that. So on the topic of food on vacation, that's what I really mean when I talk about going on vacations. It's more food and activity. So let's talk about food, okay? There's no surprise when you go on vacation, you like to try to eat out. You're in a different town. You hear there's a good restaurant. And you get choice with a decision. Okay, do I stick to my meal plan or do I maybe go off track and have one meal? There's kind of two ways to handle it. If you feel like you're someone who can stick to meal plan and not regret it or not feel guilty or not feel like you're missing out or not let it affect your overall enjoyment in this trip and this vacation, then by all means, stay on meal plan. Find the best way that you can try to adapt that meal and find something that fits in, because most restaurants, you can find a way to kind of eat in a more healthier standpoint. Example, You order a salad, maybe instead of getting fried chicken on the salad, get grilled chicken. Instead of getting the dressing in the salad, get the dressing on the side. Find ways to kind of tweak and not add calories. It's very possible to do. So you could have that mindset and just make little tweaks, right? You could also have the mindset of, I'm going to get off meal plan, but I'm going to try to find ways on my trip to be active and move and try to burn some calories, right? That's a mindset thing to have and say, well, you know, I'm going to be eating this food and I may go off track, but I'm going to make sure maybe I have access to a gym. Maybe I'll work out. Maybe I'll find a way to do it. And that's one thing that I've started to do. When I go on vacations, I see where we're staying and see if there's the opportunity where I can go to a gym. Sometimes hotels have a gym. Sometimes even if you stay at a particular Airbnb and it's in a community complex, you can go to, they have a local, a community gym that you can use. Even you can also go and get a guest pass at a particular local gym. I've done that as well. $5, $10, you can go to a local gym and get a workout. So keep that in mind. There's a mindset to say that just because you're in a different environment doesn't mean that you can still try to adapt and stay on track. It's still something you can do. Now, one thing I will say, back to the food thing, let's say you want to go completely off track. You don't have any plans to work out. You just want to eat what you want. Well, just be mindful that they might have an effect on you, right? Those foods that you eat, that those meals you go off track, they are going to have an effect on you in some way. The worst thing you could do, though, is guilt trip yourself. Do not feel guilty. Do not attack yourself. The mindset that I would have, that I personally had, is yes, I ate that food. I enjoyed that food. I had a great time with the people when I enjoyed that food. I was with people I care about. I had great conversations. I listened to great music. I enjoyed the environment. Think about the value behind that and not just the food itself, and hold on to that. And the second thing you want to do is when you come back, it's like nothing changed. When you come back, you're going to be back on your schedule, back on your routine, back on the same lifestyle that you had going into this vacation. If you do that, believe me, any weight that you may have gained, it will be a thing. It won't even be a memory in your head because you're just going to be back into the same way. You won't even realize it. And I think that's the one thing too, is we get hung up on all this food. Oh man, all this weight I'm going to gain when I get back. When you get back, you're just back in the routine. Nothing's ever changed. And to be quite honest, and I've seen this around on social media as well, and to me, I agree with it as well, is the damage you could do realistically in 1 week of eating on vacation is nothing compared to the damage you could do with years and years and years of eating poorly and having wrong diet choices and not exercising. Keep in mind, don't discredit the progress that you've already made to this point. If you've been on this journey for a year, year and a half, 2 years, and you've already seen so much progress, you're already at an advantageous spot to be successful. Not saying that you can do this all the time, but you can afford to have some of these vacations, some of these meals that you may have not been able to afford in the past. So keep that mindset. Mindset is literally everything, because we get hung up on decisions that we make. We let that guilt trip us, and in turn that kills our motivation. So when we return back to our normal lives, we're a different person than where we were before. Vacation should be a way to motivate you. For me, it's motivating. I say one of the best feelings, and I may just be a weirdo, but to me, one of the best feelings I have is working out on vacation. I love working out on vacation because it's kind of like a freebie. It's like, man, I'm still getting some progress, getting some gains, quote unquote gains, if you will. I'm still able to do this while still having fun times with people I love, with family, with friends, and, you know, traveling to new places and stuff like that. So really it comes down to mindset and not guilting yourself and enjoying it. And think about, and this also touches based on kind of cheat meals, because there's all different types of opinions on cheat meals. And, you know, should you do cheat meals? Should you even call it a cheat meal? You know, how does that work? Is there a strategic way to do cheat meals? And, you know, really at the end of the day, it's cheat meals. I think the word cheat meals puts a lot of emphasis on that meal and the effects of that meal. And I think when we really hone in and worry about and concern ourselves and even put these meals on a pedestal, it really puts a lot of attention to the meals. And instead, it should be putting attention to what your lifestyle is to begin with, right? If you have the proper lifestyle set in place, if you have the proper routine and structure, the mindset is there, those meals will be less significant, right? Because it's everything else outside of the meals that really builds into it. And I think that that's the biggest thing. And that's my mindset in a nutshell. Hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that's something that you can take with yourself and something that you can, you know, try to put into play. But the one thing for me, at least for me, this is me personally, and this is all me just speaking from experience, from things that I've done, things that have worked for me, because I was one of those people that would be, you know, very guilty. I would sometimes guilt myself, you know, oh man, I can't believe I ate the way I ate. And as I started to realize that, like, no, you know, I worked, I hit goals. I'm not the same person I was then, right? I'm not the same person. I have the strategy. I know what foods I'm eating, what effect they're going to have, but that doesn't discredit all the work that I've done and the work that I'm still doing. And when you have that mindset, it's going to make it. And, you know, to nutshell, it's basically moderation, right? Everything's, you know, it's okay to have things in moderation. That's one of the key terms you hear sometimes. But maybe particular unhealthy foods or cheat meals, quote unquote cheat meals, or going off meal plan, you know, in moderation. And that's the key. It's moderation. Because moderation informs the fact that you are conscious of, you know, you're conscious of the everything altogether, the big picture. That this one meal is just a small portion of all the other meals and all the other work that you do within a week. A lot of people aren't going on vacations. I mean, for me personally, I don't go on vacations for 3 months. I wish, that'd be pretty cool. But I only go on vacation for a week, 5 days, maybe even just a long weekend, you know, 4 days, three days. The damage you could do in those days, not saying that you could do damage, I'm sure, but if you have the mindset and you have the tools in place and you have the routine and you have the process and that's all squared away, when you come back, you're right back where you are, right? You're right back where you are. But let's talk in the situation where, let's say you do gain weight when you come back, right? You do weigh yourself and you've gained weight. You've gained 10 pounds, you've gained 15 pounds, whatever it may be. You should already be confident in what got you the success that you had. Think about what you did. You've already done this, right? You've already lost the weight. You were maybe 50 pounds heavier, 60 pounds for me, 90 pounds heavier. I have to keep that in mind that I can get the same, you had the same type of determination before when you first did this. You still have that. That's still there. You may have gotten lost in the routine of things, but it's still there. You could still get that. Hold on to that mindset. Hold on to that. You know what I mean? It's okay to kind of be cocky and be kind of confident in yourself and say, look, I've lost freaking 90 pounds before, or 80 pounds, or 50 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever it is. This is something I can do again. And think about also the great times you had. I mean, for me personally, like when I go on vacation, you know, when I go to a restaurant, yes, the food is a key thing, but for me, I'm just big on the social aspect of it. Being able to interact with, you know, my significant other, being able to interact with family, with friends, having good conversations, having laughs over a good meal. Those stuff are memories. Those are things that, you know, honestly, you're not always going to have. So to enjoy those, that's more what I get hung up on. And that usually is a positive thing. You know, hold on to those positive elements. Don't allow that meal to be a negative aspect in your life, because the second you start leaning towards the negativity, the second you become unmotivated, the second you start questioning some of the decisions that you made, which you shouldn't. If you've been successful to this point, if things have worked and you've made progress, continue on that same track. So that's kind of my spiel about vacations. Hopefully there's something you can pull out of there, you can relate to, something maybe you can try. But really, when it comes down to it, mindset is everything. I can't stress enough how you have to transform your mind first. Get your mind in the right place. Reflect. Think about why you're doing this. Are you doing this for someone else? Are you doing this to impress someone? Are you doing this for yourself? It's okay to be a little selfish at first when you're starting your journey. It's okay to say, I want to make this change for myself because I want to feel better. That's perfectly fine to do. Do not be worrisome of that. But there it is. There's everything. I like to keep these short and sweet. This is going to be a little bit of a longer episode just because I gave kind of an update of where I've been and what's been going on as far as my journey. But if you've stuck around this long, I thank you. I thank you for doing that. If you've been listening and popped in and grabbed listen, I thank you for doing that as well. I will say on social media, I try to be active. with day to day and with life, sometimes I don't have as much time to drop on, but I'm still at it. I'm still working. I'm still growing. I'm still trusting the process. That doesn't change. So if you do want to check out some of my past experiences with the ketogenic diet and things like that, I haven't necessarily posted much non-keto stuff on that page. It's been just, you know, actually, honestly, it's been most of my dog. Me and my wife, we just got our first puppy, Kaya. So I'm officially a dog dad. So a lot of my Instagram has been videos and reels of our new puppy, Kaya. She's a miniature pincher, and we love her very much. So that's been the majority of my posts. I'm trying to post more of the, you know, the health and fitness stuff and just more of my journey and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes I like to try to, you know, just, you know, change pace and things like that. But if you want to give a follow, or if you have any questions or whatever, if you need someone for support or what have you, you can follow me on Instagram. It's the_ketogenic_Jedi. And give me a follow there. You can also find this podcast on Spotify, all your different streaming platforms. And like I said, for those who listened over this time frame, I thank you for that. I know it's been a while. I'll try to be a little bit more consistent here, you know, but I wanted to make this podcast just kind of as thoughts pop into my head randomly, just kind of put them out there, put little advice tips in there for you who might, you know, need something or need a perspective, because perspective can be everything. So again, thank you for tuning in. It's been a pleasure. Remember, guys, let's strive for progress, not perfection. Take care, guys. I'll see you soon.